and welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I'm your host, Cara Westworth, and it is part two with Lauren.
Hey, hey!
Part two of Collateral, I should say. Catalog.
The IKEA assassin is back from
He's
part
back
two.
And crankier than ever.
I just want my skellig.
I hope that you all have listened to part one. Otherwise, none of those jokes would make sense. And also, you have no idea what's going on. We're continuing on reviewing Collateral 2004. Tom Cruise is an assassin and Jamie Foxx is a cab driver who's been brought into this fucked up situation with this assassin.
It's pretty rough. Is he an assassin or a hitman? Or are they the same thing, really?
I think they're the same thing.
Is that just like a sort of like who's on the better side of history sort of a thing? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think an assassin implies that perhaps they are like government trained, but a hitman is more, does it on his own.
It's just, you know, look, at the end of the day, an assassin is just a hitman who thinks he's fancy, and that's all you need to know.
What Vince is. He is
Definitely.
A fancy pants hitman.
Just because he's Tom Cruise and Cara Westworth.
Exactly. The fanciest of pants.
La-di-da. All right.
So next stop, they go to a venue. So basically, Max has to redeem himself. He needs to go get the information that Vincent lost when he pegged the suitcase up over the bridge. And obviously, Vincent's like, I don't want them to see me. So they don't know who I am. So you're going to go in pretending to be me. And good luck, because you need to get it or I'll kill you or they'll kill you. Whatever. Just go do it. And
Max is
thrust into this fucked situation.
Oh, it's a rough time. But he's also to this situation at a bar that I low-key would go to.
Yeah.
So like a club.
It was like everyone was wearing cowboy hats, but it was obviously Mexican, like a Mexican club.
Yeah. Like it's, I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's like I wrote El Rodeo. I'm not sure if that was the name of the club. I feel like that's the sort of thing I would write down, but I could be wrong, but it was like an essential, like, essentially like, yeah.
Been called that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a Mexican, like cowboy club, but obviously like it also had some like grungy back alley sort of deals going on.
Which doesn't seem like a thing you'd see in LA. I don't know. Like,
I have been to LA once and I was there for one night and it was awesome. I saw Steel Panther.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Like, they're just really funny and silly. In hindsight, also incredibly misogynistic. Hooray.
But they're embodying, like 80s hair metal, like, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a strange time because it's like, okay, like obviously a tangent earlier on in the piece, but like when you start parodying that period of time and that era and everything that embodies it, when does that parody blend into you just embodying that?
Yeah, which is what I've always had a problem. Like I get why people like Steel Panther. I just can't get on board because
it's a weird time.
I think that's why I liked The Darkness, because they kind of embodied that, but also weren't like.
Yeah, God, I used to love The Darkness so much. Okay. But anyway, so they head here and Max is like freaking out and sweating bullets once again, and also he's been told by Vince, pretend you're me, and it's like it feels like a miracle when he gets through that door. Like, yeah, oh, say Vince sent them.
So get all the information he kind of gleans from Vince too is like he's been doing it for 6 years and that's it. Yeah, he goes in pretty much blind, has to go into this club and find this person by a certain name and has to get the information. And I actually really like this thing, because at first you think he's not going to do this, he's so nervous, and like he's talking and the guy he has to talk to is Javier Bardem. Like, you're like, what the, like, all these actors who you wouldn't expect are just suddenly there and quite small parts.
Who would I know him from? Because I'm really bad at actor names.
No Country for Old Men.
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, I think it's a noir, so maybe you don't want to see it.
Sounds about right? Yeah.
What about, what the fuck is he in? He's a Bond villain.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay. I've probably seen more Bond films than, he's a Daniel Craig Bond villain,
yes,
then, for sure.
The best James Bond, yes.
Oh, so good. I mean, like, you know, to Pierce Brosnan.
He was a good Bond, but as soon as Daniel Craig became Bond, I was like, oh no, this is it. Oh,
yeah, this is more fun. He's a little more grungy.
So yeah, he's played a couple of really good villains, and I don't know what else. I'd have to have a think. But anyway, Javier Bardem is in it, and he's another bad man. He obviously, I think they tell us, or do we find out later? I don't know. It seems like Javier Bardem's character is actually the one who instigated this whole thing. So it's like he's
look at
all he's going. He's going to be indicted for something very bad involving drugs, and he has paid Vincent to go and shooty bang bang all the people who could put him in jail. So he's You think, oh, this guy is going to be fucking shot to death, killed immediately. But Max like kind of just does like this full 180 or 360 even, where he goes from being like really nervous and he's like suddenly super confident. Yeah, 360. Yeah, goes all the way around.
No, no, a 360 is too far. Back at the beginning.
Oh, go back at the beginning. 180.
You got it. No, no, never doubt yourself.
I don't know.
You had it right. Or angles or directions.
I don't know.
What I just know Tom Cruise.
Is it involved Tom Cruise? Then I don't care. Don't you ASMR me, mate.
But anyway, so he goes 180. And yeah, no, it's amazing. It's like it's like at one point his fight or flight kicks in and then it becomes the fight. And you see that he decides to get his shit together in this situation. And like he's like standing around, like it's him talking to this boss guy and all of his like finger men standing around. Like one starts to sort of pull a gun and Max is just like, oh, you're trying to threaten me. And he remembers that he has the upper hand and that he is supposed to be a trained assassin. So it's really neat to watch that. Like, it was a really cool little character.
He's like, you know, if you're this guy who's behind him, he's like, this guy doesn't put his hand up his gun, I'm going to shove up his ass kind of thing. So he actually uses all of Vincent's language.
He does. Oh my God. I didn't even notice that. Yeah. That's fantastic. He totally does though. Wow.
Because he says like, you know, it's all cool. It's I Ching. He says all this stuff that confused him when Vincent said it, but he just repeats it in the exact right way explains to him. It's like, I had a tail. I had to throw them off. And that meant I had to get rid of all the information unless you want this whole thing blown wide open. And Harvey Adams like, okay, I'm sorry. Here's a USB with all the information. Because he's like, do you know how hard this information was to get? And you lost it? You lost it? And he's like, yeah. And then it's when he does a turnaround. So yeah, it was really cool. Like seeing Max become big, shy, nervous boy to like, oh, fuck this. No, I'm a cool dude.
Yeah, yeah. And also, trying to also get his own back when he stands up after he gets the USB and is like, let me offer you a discount on on Vincent's behalf. It's like, if you're going to fuck me up so hard and make my life a living hell, then let's do a 25% discount. Hell, let's make it 35. And I laughed so hard. I was like, oh, like that is just so shitty.
Vincent's
going to
be so mad.
You know, so piss it off. So good. I totally want to go to that cowboy bar though.
Yeah, so
it was so cool.
Because I'm a cool dude and I thought I was going to LA in like, I don't know, 2 weeks time. Wow. I actually looked up where all the, because a lot of films aren't really filmed or set in LA anymore. Like Speed is and not a lot. So this is one of the only ones of Tom Cruise's that is really, really set in LA. And I looked up some people, there's a couple of dudes out there who've done really lengthy blogs. They found every single location. So this place is real. I don't know if it had the same name. And they showed Google Maps and they said, it's actually kind of in like a little shopping center area. Mm. And it's now there's something built in the way so you can't see it from the street. But yeah, so it's a real place. I don't know if it's a Mexican cowboy bar. So it'd be interesting to know. If I ever get to go back to LA, I will check it out.
Yeah, for sure. When I went to America, one of the things that blew my mind the most, and I went to America maybe, when did I go? It must have been five or 6 years ago, and it's the only time I've been. What blew my mind about it, and I'm certain for folks who have traveled there as well will agree, if you are a movie fan, the fact that you can just walk into a store and see like a beer or a candy bar, just things that are in the movies is like so mind-blowing. And the thing that killed me was the fact that they had Circle K's in America, and that's from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which is honestly...
Speaking of which, we were going to Pasadena in America, and San Dimas is just a little bit further on.
San Dimas!
I know, I was like, I'm going to go there and just scream Wild Stallions in the middle of San Dimas.
Wild Stallions!
Until I'm maybe one day.
That was another one of your big loves, like Tom Cruise, obviously, now, but
Keanu Reeves has been enduring ever since I saw Speed for the first time.
He's also a very kind person. It's really nice. I try and back kind horses. You know what I mean? Like, it's really nice when you find out the celebrities
and like
you love.
A genuine kindness, not like Tom Cruise film star kindness, which I'm sure is
film star kindness. Like, the thing is, you just don't know. Yeah, Tom Cruise. Like, you just don't know. That's
I'm 90% sure he's an alright dude, but Keanu, straight up, you're a good dude.
Straight up, you're a good egg. Just like, I think Henry Cavill is also a pretty good egg. I think it's a lot of stuff he's naive about.
He's very nice. He's from a small town in Wales, so like...
Yeah, but he paints Warhammer. My husband paints Warhammer.
My husband also paints Warhammer. And
who could have believed that we are married to Henry Cavill? this whole time.
We just put Peter and Ben together and we have Henry Cavill.
The Henrynator.
Those two together would be the right size to be Henry Cavill. Like, two whole men.
Definitely, like, the hulkiest person of all time. Jesus Christ. I low-key, like, want to message Henry Cavill on Instagram and be like, yeah, my husband's better at this than you are. Like.
What if you get blocked?
Yeah, block me, you fucker. No. My husband's Warhammer painting is way better.
No, Henry.
I like your big guns, but what the fuck is this hot mess?
Was it really bad?
No. No, it was great. I'm just being an asshole. Like, I honestly couldn't tell you the grade of Warhammer technicality that is,
and
like
Ben Peter's. Shows me his and he's like, oh, it's a bit shit. And I'm like, it looks great. So like, what?
That's a fib. I think that Ben likes to, like all of us do, look down on his own work and be the harshest critic, because like Peter, who is downstairs right now painting Warhammer, is like, oh man, Ben's been pumping out some good shit. Like, if he says that, it means it's good shit, because Peter himself holds himself to a high standard of like what he thinks is good and what isn't. So
I wonder who I wonder who Henry holds himself up to.
It's probably Tom Cruise's Warhammer painting.
Oh my god, imagine. Imagine that's what
he paints while he runs with his really nice posture. It's really messy, but it's got a certain technique to it. Like, it's an artistic flair.
Oh, I can hope.
Anyway,
I was wondering what he was doing during quarantine. Like, what does Tom Cruise do? Just works out? And
oh my god, I don't know.
He likes works movies, out. So
practices posture. I don't know. Well, calls Cher up for a fling. You're like, hey girl, I miss you. It's the time.
So we're 14 minutes in. We've barely talked about this movie. That's a classic. Fuck.
Okay, quickly, let's finish this podcast quickly. 14 minutes. I still have one whole page of notes, quickly, for fuck's sake. All right, so what are we up to? I was going to say I liked the fact that there's multiple nightclubs in this film. We'll get to the next nightclub later. Oh, no, but there has been two so far. So there's been, like, one jazz bar, which is a nightlife thing. And then there's this one here, which is inspired. Yeah, it's
so Cowboy dive bar.
Yeah. It's all good.
So,
I've got some good bits coming up. All right, so this is back in the car now.
Yes.
Like, he's managed to get through. Oh, no, lies, because there's a shootout. Oh, no, not yet.
Not yet. Okay, so.
Lies, pies. Okay, sorry, spoilers, everyone. But, yeah, no, he manages to get through that.
But also.
Ruffalo, mate. Yeah.
Fanning actually finds out that the feds actually are doing something to do with this case, with everything that's going on. And so Fanning meets with the feds. He actually sees a beat up. So they're actually surveilling that club that Max goes into. And they're like, just record that. Like, who is this black man going to a club that's not the normal demographic that goes to that club? And Fanning finds out that they've actually got, like, this big case against him, and they've got their eye on Javier Bardem, who's obviously the one who's going to be indicted. And as they're watching the footage, he notices a cab sort of parked around the corner. And he's like, what is that cab? And so they zoom in on it, and they also zoom in on Max, and they hear him say, my name's Vincent. And so they're like,
yeah, they use some sort of like magic equipment that I'm not sure it fucking exists.
No, not in 2004.
You know, like when it's like, what is it they do that they're like enhance?
Yeah, enhance. Like, and then suddenly.
Yeah, triangulate. Blah, 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 enhance. I'm like, no, this is fucking bones technology. It doesn't exist.
They've suddenly like, I think we've got this guy. So they've worked out that, okay, there's this big case and he's now, you know, this guy's indicted. This guy who is a witness has been possibly killed. We just don't have his body yet. There is the criminal lawyer has also been killed. So yeah, obviously we need to go get this next guy, and they figure out, so they're going to beat Vincent to the next venue. Meanwhile, Fanning's also like, I don't know if it's him, because they actually work out pretty quickly. He looks like the guy who drives this cab, but maybe it's the actual assassin and he's picked a guy. So they're like, no, he's just, the real cab driver's dead. This guy has picked a cab driver that looks like him to, you know, play the part. All a bit too convoluted for, but
that's, yeah, sounds about, yeah.
That's the feds for you.
Oh, those guys.
So yeah, so the feds actually race off to go to this nightclub, because they find out, they're like, okay, we need to forget the next person who's probably the victim. And they work out he's at another nightclub on the other side of town in downtown LA. And Fanning's like, no, I don't think this is the guy. So he actually races ahead. He's not meant to go because he's not a Fed. He races ahead because he doesn't want this Vincent or Max to get killed. So yeah, we get to the next nightclub.
But there's some dialogue in between that. I can't remember what it is. I think this is when Max finally calls him a sociopath. And the only reason I know that there's more dialogue in this part is because I very vividly remember Peter whispering behind me the words, "I love Tom Cruise's face." While we were watching it, and I just remember laughing so hard. And there's also like this thing where they talk about like mind reading, like, you can't read my thoughts. And so like Tom Cruise is sitting in the back and they're having this conversation about like, you don't actually know how people function effectively, and you can't read my thoughts, it's just his confidence and guesswork. And basically Tom Cruise gets like this super 1,000-yard stare and it looks like he can read your thoughts, and it's like, oh no. And then Kara, Creed starts playing.
No, it's not Creed. It's fucking...
Is it Creed? Who is it?
Audioslave.
It's Audioslave? It sounded like a fucking Creed song.
No,
I was like, no one Chris Cornell, knows what it's like to be the
Chris best. Cornell rules. Chris Cornell rules, man. I don't
I'm really
much
bad
alternative
at
music, but I really like Audioslave.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know much Audioslave, but I laughed because I thought it was Creed.
No,
Creed.
I would have kickboxed this movie into the ocean if that had been fucking Creed.
And they say that a hero will save us. A Shiro will save us. Not gonna take me away.
No, because they see...
Audioslave, thank goodness. Because that's when I was like, when was this film fucking made? Like, I mean, the old Nokias, is it Nokias they're using?
No, Motorola.
They're Motorolas.
I'm glad I remember that.
Yeah, look, who loves a flip phone more than the fucking Motorola
flip phone?
Thank goodness.
And they see a coyote crossing the road. Oh, which I don't know if it has anything to do with, like, Max said the reason why to the cops why he had a big smash in his screen and blood was because he hit a deer. And like, a deer in that part of LA.
A South Central deer? Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck?
They say South Central? Yeah, I don't remember, but they were like, oh, like in this neighborhood, what the fuck? But the fact that there was wildlife out at that time of night was kind of like, oh.
Which I looked into, and apparently to the native folk who would have lived in this area, oh, I never said Navajo, I can't remember, but basically to a lot of Native Americans, seeing a coyote cross your path like that is bad luck and you should turn around because whatever goes on, you're either... it's going to be bad. Like, it's your own journey.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. Yeah. Oh, wow. Because I didn't like, of course, that's shorthand for Australians that we would just not understand at all.
Yeah.
Or symbolism that we just would not get. But if that's more ingrained. Oh, wow. That's really interesting. Neat.
Yeah. Like, I like that song, but it was a little bit jarring. But
creedy.
Like, Michael Mann.
A bit creedy.
Not creedy.
Sounds like creedy.
Yeah. How about you?
And they say that a hero saves us. Tom Cruise will blow you away.
Jesus.
So sorry.
So it's like a bit of a montage of everyone like quietly traveling to this nightclub, like no one's talking, and while Audioslave plays, they go to a very large nightclub. So they all sort of get there. I think Max and Vincent get there just before everyone else. And also, Javier Bardem has sent some guys to keep an eye on Vincent, and if anything fucks up, they're going to shoot him as well.
There's so much going on there, la-di-da.
So this massive, which is the biggest nightclub ever seen. Like, it was like massive, and it was. And I don't know if you picked this. So it's an Asian American nightclub, and it was playing like this really sort of low, what did I describe it as? Low, like really low key dance music, like really lo-fi. And I'm like, look, I don't know if maybe this is me stereotyping, but as a general rule in downtown LA, I don't think that's the kind of music that would be playing in a club like that. And I obviously they've just filmed it with no music because it's film. And Michael Mann's like,
I thought that as well, actually.
I'm going to play this music. It's really cool music. And it's like, that is not the music. That does not fit in at all. When this,
it felt kind of weird, didn't it? Yeah. I think I wrote something about the music.
Because the guy who's the next victim is Korean, and which means it's probably in Koreatown, which is in downtown LA. So yeah, like I'm sure there are probably dance music clubs that people in that area go to, but it was obviously Michael Mann who has no idea why.
It also felt like a very early 2000s track.
Yeah.
Like it hardcore felt like an early 2000s track, and that's unfortunate because I think that probably dates the film a little bit. Yeah, 2004. I was actually going to ask you when this came out, but you said 2004.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which doesn't feel that long ago until you think about it, and it was so long ago.
That was 16 years ago.
I was 4 years out of high school. You were still
15.
In high school.
I was still in high school, yeah. Yeah, I was a child. I didn't graduate until 2006.
Jesus Christ.
I know. Jesus Christ. I know. She's a baby.
She's little baby.
30. But yeah, anyway, yeah, no, it's I felt like that dated it a little bit. Once again, yeah. I love all the clubs in this because I have like, well, that's, I guess like shortly after that is when I went clubbing.
Oh yeah.
Do you know where I used to go? I used to go to The Beat.
Oh yeah, I was going to say The Beat, yeah.
In the Beep Show, and I used to go to Fortitude Valley. Is it still there?
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
I think this is the first time since it's been open that it's actually been closed.
Oh, of course. We used to go to The Beat, and we used to go to Faith. Do you ever go to Faith?
No, I followed the Facebook, and I always wanted to no one to go with, so I never went.
Faith for everybody who doesn't live in Brisbane, was like the goth club, and they used to do fortnightly. They'd run like I think once a week, and Faith was like their trad goth night, or sort of like an all rounder. Yeah. And they'd also run Love Cats, but everyone just called it Faith always. Love Cats was their 80s goth night.
Yeah,
but I used to show up to that thing. My friend, my old housemate, used to wear purple camo pants.
Oh, that's amazing.
And disgusting creatures we are, we used to play Wet Willy Tag on the dance floor. You know, lick your finger and, yeah.
I know what that is, and that's why I'm making the face.
Yeah, you can make that face. You can make that face all you want. I'm going to chase you around.
If you do, I swear to God. I'm cruise running out of there.
Yeah, as if.
I know I can't run like that at all.
Yeah, I'm so old on my knees.
The arthritis, as fuck.
Oh, I'll have you, Westworth. I'll have you.
Bit of Brisbane history for you all.
That is. I used to go to Club 299 as well.
Mm, I used to go there.
Did you go to 299 that Ruled?
That's a piece of shit. It's an R&B club now. Shit. And it's really
Really?
Shit. Yeah.
It used to be when I went, it was an alternative club and they had a light up dance floor and it was the fucking best.
They still have a light up dance floor, but they've actually cleaned the place up because that place was grubby.
It was so super grubby, and my friend at the time was a photographer there, and I used to photobomb all his photos. Like, yeah, there are photos of goths like making out, and I'd be in the background going like just pulling a horrified face.
Nice.
I didn't. Photobombing was new. It was an exciting thing to do for the internet.
So. I still enjoy the odd photobomb, so I cannot.
Thank goodness you can photobomb my photos any old time. All right, where were we? We're almost at the end of this fucking film.
we're getting there, guys. We're inching our way slowly to the end.
Let me just stop and tell you some Brisbane nightclub history off the back of this. The fuck? Anyway.
So they go through, they're walking through Vincent and Max, and they can see, Vincent can see his victim at the back through the crowd. Mm. And he's like, there's obviously gangbanger Korean dude who's like sitting there in this big suit looking with two girls looking sleazy as, and you know, directs Max to go ahead. Vincent takes down he sees all the bodyguards for this guy around, and he like takes him down. And there's this amazing where he like kicks the guy's knee from the side and just it snaps.
Horrible.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that stresses me out so hard. But also like if you're into that.
You
gotta
snap my knees, Tom Cruise.
Please snap my knees. It's not that hard.
He's like, doesn't even hit me, and I like, they crack and fall off.
It's a little flick. Just roll. Those ankles are going. She's rolling.
Oh, so
good. Oh, no.
He shoots as well, and like, because it's so noisy, like, and he has a silencer on. People kind of aren't aware of what's going on. Lots of fighting, and then Javier Bardem's bad guys are there, and all the cops are there, and it's all, and so Fanning actually intersects Max, and he's like, oh, Max is like, I'm not Vincent. He's like, no, I'm going to get you out of here. And Vincent's being attacked from all different angles. And then my favorite thing in the whole world is when he's like, gets disarmed. So he loses his gun, gets knocked to the ground. They're rolling around. And he manages to pull out a knife and stab a guy. And then he does this thing where he grabs a gun and flips over and like shoots between his legs. And
Bene. Yes, fantastic. I love, this is probably my favorite part of the whole film, to be honest, because it's this film is a bit of a slow burn, and then this having a major action sequence. I mean, that's what I really enjoy Tom Cruise in. If he's not a vampire, I want to see him in a major action
busting
sequence.
Fucking chops.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, oh, so good. So it's really, really fun to watch. Yeah, and of course everybody starts freaking out because everyone starts firing as well.
Yep.
So
and he ends up killing the witness, and meanwhile Fanning is getting Max Max out of there. And Max is like relieved. He's like, someone believes me. Like, I'm, because obviously this is going to be pretty hard to be like, oh, yeah, I was just pretending to for the assassin. So,
yeah.
It'd be very relieving to be taken out of there and by someone who believes you. But as he gets out, he's bang, bang, bang. And old mate Fanning is on the ground dead. And Vincent is standing at the cab and being like, come on, let's get going.
Come on, let's go. No. Before we get too far ahead, when he does kill like the mob boss inside this club, I laugh so hard, obviously not at death, but at the fact that he shoots him and then, so Vince like shoots him and then goes like his posture comes back and then he just strolls on out of there. Did you notice that transition?
No,
like,
but I'm going
to bang, bang, bang. And now I'm Tom Cruise and it's like his little posture comes back and he strolls on out. Like, it's so amazing. Peter and I rewound it a few times because we were like, look at him go, and now I'm Tom Cruise. It's so good to watch.
I'm going to go rewatch
really
that
subtle
again.
But it's very Tomothy. Tomothy.
So yeah, his next victim has been killed and poor sad Max has to keep going because he was that close to getting out of there. And Fanning didn't deserve to fucking die. Like, he was just he was going above and beyond. Like, the feds were meant to take care of this, and he was doing his job. That's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're zooming off, and Vincent's like, "You're alive. I saved you. What? No thanks. Like, are you fucked? Are you completely fucked?
I think you got a bit of a. That's a time. You've got issues, mate.
Yeah. So they have to zoom off, and another fun fact. So they told Michael Mann was like, okay, when you drive away from the club, we want you just to sideswipe the cars as you're going out. But if you notice, he just fucking rams into them and like, whoosh, and like, and
hit like it's like a more of a like stressful, like, it's hardly a sideswipe. It's definitely like it's a miracle that car is still running sort of thing after he hits it so hard.
Jamie Foxx said it's just because that the way that car handled, he couldn't get it to turn enough to sideswipe. So he crashes in there and like they do it. And apparently, so Tom Cruise is in the back, unrestrained. Like, he hasn't got a seatbelt on.
Oh, no.
And they do that. And he's like, oh, my God. And stop the take. And he's like, oh, my God, you're right. And Tom Cruise is apparently laughing in the back. Thought it was great. And everyone comes running over. And they're like, Jamie, you okay? He's like, before he even finishes saying yes, they're like pushing him out the way and looking at Tom Cruise. Because he's like, he's a billion-dollar guy in the back. Like,
oh, my fucking God. Thanks, guys. That's so fucked. It's like, Jamie, you're...
Tom Cruise, are you okay? And Tom Cruise is like, ha, 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 what a jolly...
I'm a man who does my own stunts. La-di-da. What a funny day I've had. Crashing to a car.
Flips out.
He's like, oh, you're parkour. Out of there, Tom Cruise. Off to IKEA. So good. But yeah, it's like, I really like the LA backdrop because it's a little bit of driving from here on in. And empty LA, I think I have a bit of a love for empty city streets because it sounds weird, but it reminds me of growing up and having my first year outside of home was at Brisbane. Mm. And at midnight, you can just walk around that city and it feels really safe because there's just no one around. Mm. It's really kind of pretty, but yeah.
I wonder how, if LA is ever like that anymore. Like, I feel like it's probably going to be pretty busy all the time now.
Yeah.
When I was last there driving, there was never not gridlock traffic, even in the middle of the night. Wow. Bit of a bummer.
Bit hectic.
Yeah.
That sucks.
At this point, this is where Max is like really upset that Fanning is dead. He's like, you didn't have to kill him. He had fucking family and children. Like, and now he's gone because for what? He's the only guy that believed me. And Max actually calls him a sociopath at this point, not just heavily implying. And he's like, what are you like? You bet you were like an institutionalized kid and has a real go at him and like kind of reads him really well. And which is another.
You know, oh, that's right. Yeah. This is definitely the point because I felt like that was like a huge point, but there's so much car driving. I think it's blended in.
Yeah.
A little
so he
bit
actually
for me.
Has a really solid go, which actually you can tell is upsetting Vincent. Mm-hmm. So Vincent actually gets really mean and is like
gets shook.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing still driving a cab? And like gives him more of a lecture on like you're one of those guys who talks about stuff and never does anything and you're gonna live and die and wonder what happens sitting at your couch watching TV when you're 80 years old, being really mean and horrible. And Max kind of is like, yeah, I'm done with this. Hey, I don't care what happens to me. Like, fuck you, dude. So
you're the fucking worst.
But also he's also been not just doing it for himself. He's also been doing this because Vincent did actually threaten to, if you don't do this and I'm going to kill your mom on the way home. Like,
oh yeah, that's it. Yeah. Like there've been some threats made now that a person who is close to him has been introduced. Like, yeah, it's a weird upper hand that Tom Cruise has throughout all of this.
He's saying, and then he starts speeding up. Vincent's like, slow down. And he's like just speeding and speeding and speeding. And this guy knows what he's doing. Like, he knows all of LA. He's zooming around because he knows everywhere to go. He obviously has some sort of plan because he's zooming around, he goes through red lights, keeps going, and Vincent holds a gun to his head and is like, you need to fucking stop. He's like, what are you going to do? Kill me and then we both die? Like, get fucked. You're not going to shoot me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Basically, Max is taunting him really, really badly. And then it's just like, fuck you. And then just hits a curb and flips that taxi the fuck over.
Flips that bad boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, it's just like, it's stick a fork in him. He's done. Mm. He's fucking done. He's so cooked and so done with this bullshit and done with threats. And it's like, how many hours has it been of this fucking psychological torture of watching people get murdered and then having a high tense scene where he almost got the opportunity to escape and has to be thrown back into the same situation.
And gets, and then continues to get lectured by this dude. Like,
oh, this fucking crazy person. Yeah, it's great. It's really, it's a really good movie. Like, looking back on it.
Yeah. So the cast, they both survive. It's fine. Vincent has a crack at Max and Max is like, whatever. They hear siren. So Vincent just books it. He's actually lost his gun in the process and he's left everything. He just bolts. Mm. So Max is there. He's like, okay, cool. No worries. Cop comes and says, oh, you've been in an accident. I'm going to help you. Immediately sees that there's a dead body in the boot of the upside down cab and goes to arrest Max. And Max is like, whatever, put me in jail. I don't care. I need to be, I'll be safe at least. But then he sees the laptop that Vincent has been looking at upside down the back seat. And the next victim is, it's Annie.
It's Annie. Oh,
his new potential girlfriend.
Oh, no. And I suppose it's like this weird thing as well where it's like Vince's chats have sort of gotten through to him. So he's now become an action man. Like, it's not about being the person who you talk about you want to be and what you want to do with your life. But yeah, no, now he like, oh, okay, well, this is someone I really care about. And I wasn't even going to call her because it's implied that he wasn't even going to call her because he was too chicken shit and, just didn't want to take any risks. But because it's now this life-threatening situation, he's decided to take action. So it's like weird, like them bouncing off one another and having an effect on your life, even though you're a huge piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's like this unstoppable force. Yeah.
So yeah, he gets away from the cop, handcuffs the cop to the thing and is like, oh, it's a life or death situation. But he also tells him, like, I'm going here, call the police, and runs off and nicks someone's Motorola flip phone, which was
Boy.
And like, for this guy who's like always obviously law-abiding and is very sensible, he actually like holds a gun at the guy and is like, fuck you.
Oh, that's right, it does, yeah. Oh, eat shit. No, give me a Motorola. It's worth at least $30.
And I was thinking about 2004, like mobile phones are pretty new for us in 2004. Mm. In America, America were like kind of late adopters to mobile, I guess the general public.
Oh, mate, I didn't have a mobile phone until I was 16 years old that's when, yeah, I know, right? But I was also like, that was 2006. It was the last year of high school for me. Yep. So it was 2006.
That's fair.
So 16, 17.
I got one my first year out of high school. So
Yeah, yeah. So like, well, that would have been roughly same year.
2001. Yeah? Lauren, I'm quite
2001.
old.
2001. Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh my goodness me. I'm quite old.
And oh my, was it a fucking brick of a phone?
What did you have?
It was a Panasonic something. It was like, it was the size of a fucking, a tall can of beer.
Oh my God. Ericsson and it was not a flip phone. I didn't get one of those until way later. And the flip phone I did get though, motherfucker, it had this bar across it. It was a white Sony phone and I could fit so many phone charms on it. Like the phone charms were bigger than my phone. It was
I got to that point and I'm like, yes. Look at how many I have on you. Yes, nice.
Kawaii till I die. Yes. So good. All right, so we're moving on. Max is like, oh shit, the girl I like is potentially going to get assassinated by total dickhead, and he's running to the office block calling her.
He's trying
to
ring her and can't get through because it's 2004. Phones suck, and there's no charge. He has to like run up to the top story of like a car park building and he can actually see her building really clearly. He's ringing her and he finally gets through to her and she answers and she's like, what? This is what? Why are you calling me? This is weird.
He
finally takes him a little bit of time. He gets through to her and because he knows all this information, like he's listened and heard all this information about different names involved. And so she's like, oh my God. And he's like, oh my God, I can see him through the window. He's in her office, but she's actually two levels up doing research. And but he's in the same building now. And when the phone dies, Max is like, okay, I guess I gotta go down and save her, and sees that it's in with her key cards. But
we find out later he stole from the security guard.
Murders everywhere. And I heard like the first time Max fires the gun is to like get into the building and he's like, throws a bin, doesn't work, and he's like reluctantly like cringing as he's trying to shoot the window to get in.
He doesn't really fire a gun throughout this. So
he turns the safety off, he's like, bang. Yeah, further proving that this poor guy is way out of his depth. And he gets in. Vincent actually works out where she is because he sees the phone and one of those BS office phones where everything lights up. So he can actually...
Oh, that's right, because it shows you what floor, like where the connections are through. Yeah, the lines, totally.
So it's like, uh-huh, I know what I'm doing.
Oh, no.
And he does this thing, and it's... I think I've used it on my social media previously, where Vincent goes and smashes all the power box thing, and...
Oh, yeah, he goes and fucks shit up so hard. Yeah.
So the phone lines are cut and everything, and... there's all sparks and everything. It's a very sexy shot of Vincent.
Oh, yes.
Just causing chaos everywhere he goes. And so now she's like crawling around desperate. He gets on that floor and she can see him and she's freaking the fuck out. And he finally backs up into a corner and he's about to like shoot her. And then our hero, Max, turns up.
Yay.
No, you don't. And Vincent's like, what are you gonna do? You're just an idiot. And he's like, am I? And then shoots him and almost shoots his ear off.
It's like really grazes that cheek. Yeah, it's a really gory shot, actually. It's very splattery.
So he gets fine. They bolt off together. And did you notice the bit where Vincent like runs through the broken glass and he actually tries to jump over a chair and falls down?
I wrote office chair in big letters. I laughed so hard. I even rewound it. I was like, we should stunt double now, Tom Cruise. Fucking stacking it up office chairs like a drunk idiot. I laughed really hard, but that just, I don't know.
Obviously, they would have taken so many takes because Michael Mann apparently is relentless with taking takes.
Really?
And also, did you know this film is almost completely shot in DV, digital video?
I was going to say, actually, I was going to ask you what it was shot on because I know you're a film nerd, because it's really grainy.
Yeah.
I think that's for the night shots. And I thought that was, and also the fact that it doesn't have a lot of static shots. It has a lot of, it's almost shot freehand.
So the reason why he did that is because film, you got, 10-minute reel? So it's really, takes a long time and is a real nightmare. So you can get lots of good continuous shots, millions of takes, much to the chagrin of his actors. Also, DV works better in low light. So the only... The film bits was mostly like the last nightclub because it was actually really well lit and DV doesn't work as well in really, really bright lighting. So they use film for that.
That helps like tone down and make the continuity of the of the lighting and mood of the shot. Oh, neat. Cool.
So when he falls off that chair, office chair, there would have been a million takes, but Michael Mann was like, no, I like the one where he falls. On- oh.
I want to see Tom Cruise get an injury.
Also,
excellent.
Not
this
the
is
only
art.
Film that Tom Cruise falls over a chair in War of the Worlds, Tom Cruise's character trips over a chair.
When does he fall over a chair in War of the Worlds at the beginning?
At the beginning when the lightning's going crazy and they're outside and they run inside in terror.
Yeah.
And there's like an outdoor chair and he like caught up and stumbles and falls over it.
You know that War of the Worlds is one of my favorite Tom Cruise films.
It's a bang. No, I watched it like
2 days ago. It's so fucking, good. I watched it on a flight and every time I watch it, it stresses me the fuck out. And that's how I know that I love it because every emotional beat, it fucking absolutely nails. Have you done War of the Worlds yet on this cast?
Nah.
Oh, I've already seen it, so I can't do it. Oh, no. But fuck, it's such a banger. God, it's so, so good.
It fucking rules. If you haven't seen that, we'll be reviewing
so
that.
Hard.
They get out, they escape with Vincent pretty close behind because of that blog I've read where all the locations. So they go down and they're like, oh, we're not going out in the street. They go down to the train station. That train station is nowhere near that building, but they...
Is that train station in Melbourne? Because it looks like Melbourne Central train station. It drove me crazy.
It's like just one of the main ones in downtown LA.
Neat. Okay. Because I was like, the fuck is that? Yeah.
So yeah, they quietly kind of sneak onto a train and it just is about to pull away. And Vincent is like, okay, there's two trains. Which one would it be? And you see it ticking over. And of course he manages to pick the right one. And like, this is amazing leap over the tracks and like comes on the back. And that looked like Tom Cruise. Like, I mean, it would be.
But he does his own stunt. It was
but that was incredible. That was a huge leap, like meters and meters, and then just lands on his feet. And like, my feet hurt just watching
that.
Like, you know, when you jump off a swing and you're like, it kind of jars your feet a bit and you're like, ow.
Absolutely not. Yeah, no, I do not have the capacity to that. No. Yeah, no way.
That is a man in his late 40s and I am not even 40 yet. And I'm like, oh no.
I'm 30 and I'm like, Peter, can you get me a knee brace from work? It's just getting a little achy. It's because I've been on my couch for 3 weeks fucking doing fuck all for COVID. Thanks for nothing.
COVID. turning us all into boneless slugs.
Oh, it's true. All I want to do is be like good at cosplay and arm wrestling and like, what have you done for me? Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know when it happens, but they do a massive super zoom in on Tom Cruise's face. And I laughed at that too.
I think
it's through the window. I think it's like through the window because it's like sort of like on his face. And I laughed really hard at that as well because it felt like it was just overdramatic compared to the rest of the tone of the film. But at the same time, Tom Cruise's face, I'm here for it.
I can't be too mad at that. On the train, another fun fact about this. This was all green screen because Michael Mann had very specific ideas of what he wanted to show in the background in the windows.
Oh, behind them. That's fair, because otherwise you have to reset. Like, and where the fuck do you get a train that's going to do that unless you pay thousands or hundreds of thousands of
and
dollars?
And you're never going to get all the right scenery in the background on the one train line. So like,
no way.
So that was all green screen. So they're on the train, like they try and get off and they realize Vincent's like stepping off, watching to see if they get off to shoot the shit out of him. And
that was really stressful. Yeah, fuck yeah.
A couple of people on the train who seem nonplussed by everything that's going on.
It's true. It's like, it's essentially like a chase down the entire length of the train.
And they're like, LA.
Oh, LA. Yeah, nobody cares, remember? No one cares you're getting shot on a train. I don't know why, but I have the note here. Oof, super bastardy. I must have done something a bit sexy on that train, like been a bit bastardy. I think, I don't know what it was, but I was like, oh, because bastardy is like the shorthand in my house for holy shit, how hot was that? Like,
oh, I wonder
he was
what
super mean. He was super mean and I was keen is like how that translates. Like,
nice.
Fucking hell. Wait, I don't remember what it was though.
He's essentially just like taunting and then he finally catches up. They're at the very front of the train. And these trains are obviously aren't run by people. They are automated trains, I guess, because there was no one driving
it. Is that a thing?
I think so. Because why would the train keep going? Like when all this shit's happening.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah, so.
Because even trains in Japan are automated.
Well, my only experience with LA trains is not being on them is the movie Speed. And that had a guy driving it. So I don't know. I'm guessing maybe.
You know, is anyone from LA listen to this? Please tell us because we do not know your train network.
Just fun fact also, it's a Long Beach train in case you're wondering, and Long Beach is generally heading south towards Disneyland in case you were interested.
Oh, very important fact for us Disney nerds, for sure.
Yeah, he taunts him, he catches up, and it's basically at that point where Max is like, I gotta do something, like this is fucked. If I don't, then we're all dead anyway. So he just steps out and starts shooting, and Vincent is shooting as well, and lots of bang bang, and they all were standing there looking both shocked, and you're like, what happened? And then you realize, oh, Max is fine. Vincent has been shot.
He's not fine.
Yeah, and he's, I don't know what you'd say he is. He's just kind of like, oh, fuck, I guess.
Almost quietly accepting of it, I guess. Yeah. There's like it's neat, actually, because I mean, like, he's someone who doesn't really have any sort of opinion or real attachment or emotional responses probably to death. So the fact that it's his own death, sorry, I sound like I'm a fucking la-di-da film nerd, but that's what I got from this. It's almost like the fact that he's now encountered his own death is not a huge deal.
Yeah. I mean, how has he rationalized all these killings for so long? It's like, it's just another Joe Blow dying. Like, so he's gonna be like, okay, well, you know, I was in the game for 6 years and now it's my turn kind of thing. And he sits down and like he's bleeding in the chest and Max just kind of comes and sits by him and is just like looking at him.
Yes, it's across from him. Yeah. It's like, it's sort of that weird, like almost like a strange camaraderie or I guess that's Max's empathy.
Yeah.
Because he is the most empathetic character, and Annie even comes and sits there too. And I think Vince has a few last words.
His thing was like, he just repeats a story about the guy who gets on the MTA and dies and no one notices.
That's right. And then he just
puts his head down and dies quietly.
I wrote slow death lol. Cause he does like a little and then his head just falls. And I had a little giggle at that because it was once again, those for such a slow burn film, such a weirdly dramatic little moment. Like it made me giggle. I was like, ah, yeah, cool.
Also, he died quite hotly, which no surprise there.
No surprise.
And, yeah. Like, they, at all. And they just kind of like get off the train and that's it. Like, they just get off the train like.
Okay. Yeah. Is that the end of the film?
That's it.
That's it. What a film. Yeah. What a time. We got there.
And
I'm
you
really
see the train keep
us.
Going and you can see like the silhouette of Vincent on there and they just walk off the train.
Yeah, that's it. The film wasn't about whether he got caught. It's about comeuppance. I don't know what it's really about.
Yeah.
It's a character piece with lots of stuff going on. So
it just, yeah. I think it's just about, yeah, Max learned a lot. Like he went through the worst experience he's ever going to go through. But he also learned some valuable lessons along the way.
Yeah.
Game at the expense
of sociopath.
Yeah. So I'd quickly talk about some of the making of, because I watched that immediately after.
Oh my God. Tell me everything.
Tom Cruise refers to himself, his character, Vincent, as a silver fox, which made me lol.
Oh my God. I can't believe it.
You can't say that you are a silver fox. Like, it's true.
That's my job. That's us. That's the job of your thirsty fans, Monsieur Fox.
Yeah, what else? Things like, they all, Michael Mann, he sort of talks about how, he said, I've never really worked in film. Like, apparently Michael Mann used to drive cabs, so did his dad and his grandfather.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. So wow.
He has a connection with cops. So he made, like, Jamie Foxx go hang out with LA cab drivers for a couple of days, and he made Annie hang out with this couple who he said, these are just like who I imagine your parents would be. And he made them all go do this stuff that was pretty wild, because he's like, I don't have a lot of film experience, so I just do things the way I think should be done. So he wrote huge big backstories. Vincent was from, where was he from? Did I write it down? I think it was like from a very small industrial, I think it's the same hometown as Michael Jackson actually. And he knew everything, like everything that shaped him. So yeah, that stuff he said in the cab was actually true, that he came in from an abusive family. He was in foster homes, blah, 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 because they had the entire backstory. And they did like proper weapons training with an ex-SAS dude. And even Mark Ruffalo did, even though he never fired a weapon, but just so he would hold the weapon properly kind of thing.
That's the Henry Cavill, put a bunch of swords in his house just so he was comfortable. Like, you have to have a certain amount of comfort, especially in a film that is more about the actors and the characters. Yeah.
And also Jamie Foxx, they made him do so many driving courses, not because he needed to learn how to, like, he did like stunt driving, but also just you need to look so casual, like you've been driving for 12 years. You can't be, because he's like, he got in the first time, was doing that old fashioned, like turning the steering wheel too much. They're like, can you please
stop
that?
Oh my God. I bet they made him drive so fucking much. Until he got super comfortable. Wow.
So they showed all that sort of stuff. Really fun. But the thing that I really enjoyed was obviously all the training. They were showing Tom Cruise training, fighting and everything. And it was a good sexy time, wearing sweatpants a lot, which was interesting.
Do you know what
they filmed before this?
What did they film before this?
Last Samurai. So he had his Last Samurai hair and beard.
So hot in that one. Oh my God. The only thing that makes that film even better is, unfortunately, he gets outshined by how hot Ken Watanabe is. And I'll never stop talking about how attractive Ken Watanabe is. He's probably one of the most attractive men of all time. Like, what the fuck? Oh my God. Last Samurai is so fucking good.
So when he's doing all this training and stuff, he looks like the Last Samurai character.
Oh my God, I'm watching that. And I was just to try and perv at Tom Cruise's junk through sweatpants. And also with a bit of long hair. Like, let's be honest. But yeah, holy shit. Oh my God, that's
good. It was a good time. So yeah, if you have access to the making of and the behind the scenes stuff, it's actually really interesting, because Michael Mann doesn't make films like other directors. And it's fun and interesting.
That's
and
really
Michael
neat.
Mann's yeah, so I fucking passionate about what he does. So it's all very cute.
Honestly, the passion can sometimes get you through.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you've got the drive, then your brain starts to work out how to make that happen. And that sort of drive is just so important when it comes to having creative vision. It's really nice, because it energizes the rest of the people around you as well. You've got to have like, it's such a good feeling. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, rad.
So that is Collateral. And because we're up to nearly an hour, let's quickly go through Tom Cruise-isms that we did actually kind of cover off. Running.
Yes.
There was some good, not a lot of running because they're mostly in a car, but some really good running.
Yeah. The main running is definitely the hospital scene.
Yep.
He also does his Tom Cruise laugh.
Oh, does he?
It's when he talks about, haha, I murdered my dad.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he does a Tom Cruise laugh, but it's supposed to be applied to sociopaths, but it just looks like a Tom Cruise laugh. So I'm like, oh my God, is that just Tom Cruise being a sociopath?
Oh no, sociopath.
Well, I think that in this movie, so Christian Bale, who I know you hate with a burning passion.
With every fiber of my fucking being.
Look, he's a bit of a twat potentially. I don't know him that well, but I love the movie American Psycho because I think it is the funniest films I've ever seen in my life. If you watch it as a comedy, it is fucking amazing.
I can't.
Watch it with me sometime with some beers, babe. You will love it. You will laugh so hard.
I'll watch it again if you read the book.
I've read it.
You've read that fucking book?
Yeah. Because I have.
Worst thing I've ever read.
It's... Sorry, I read it as a comedy. It's supposed to be supposed to be about how shitty politics are. I know it's like one of those things where, in like hindsight, it's sort of wanky to be like, who's worse? Is it the sociopath or is it capitalist pigs? And I'm like, everyone's bad, but I'm a horror nerd, so I was like, oh, this is graphic and horrible and incredibly misogynistic, but a lot of horror is so. But the movie itself is better than the book, like by 1,000 times,
because it's like not as rapey and
really horrible. But also, it's a comedy. Like you're supposed to watch it. Like if it was anyone
but that fucking piece of shit. Ugh.
Yeah, it is a weird time. Like, yeah, I didn't get that film until I watched it with people who were like, you know, it's supposed to be funny, and I was like, what? And it blew my mind at how hilarious parts of it were. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Collateral because we're almost at an hour. But this is the closest, because Christian Bale based his character off Tom Cruise in that film.
Still makes me angry.
I've seen Tom Cruise act like Christian Bale in American Psycho.
Okay,
because he's a sociopath. So I wonder, I don't know what sort of research, but I mean, like, it was neat because it's like, okay, this is what Hollywood sociopath looks like. And that was really fun for me because I really enjoy American Psycho and the cross, that weird crossover there of characters and character motives being that they are fucked.
Yeah.
So I love that. Anyway, I don't know. We'll watch it sometime and we'll talk about it. But yeah, but he does do his Tom Cruise laugh and it comes across as weirdly sociopathic because of the context. And it made me laugh so hard because I'm like, there it is. I don't think he does his incredulous face, because throughout this, Tom Cruise does this amazing incredulous face in most of his film, but because he's supposed to be stupidly confident in this because of his de facto sociopath like persona, he never looks incredulous. He just always looks very confident and then annoyed.
At all times.
Yeah.
And a brief laugh and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you get from this one. Did you notice any other Tom Cruise-isms?
Not really. Like, obviously, there's a few stunts that he would have done.
Yeah.
But otherwise...
Falling off chairs.
Fucking falling over. Look at it.
I laughed so hard. I was like, oh, faceplant. There it goes. Get up. There it goes. Speeding out of here. So good.
Okay, so not too many in the way of Tom Cruise-isms. All right, let's rate the movie. And do you think that I've considered for 1 minute what my rating system will be? No.
Mine is.
Of
course not. Oh, I'm an asshole, so I'm going to steal yours. Whatever yours is going to be.
Why don't you do yours and then I can think of one.
Okay, mine is, I would like to rate this film 3 stumbly office chairs out of 5 stars. And that's because, I'm not going to lie, I find this genre of film, if it isn't noir, it feels close to noir. I find it very... like the slow burn, so my eyes do get a bit bored, but the beats that were there were really fun, especially the action sequences. But that's sort of what I come to see Tom Cruise for. I like watching him doing action man stuff. So 3, because there were some solid action sequences, and I take 2 stars off because I found it a little bit dull.
Okay, for me to rate this, I love this movie, and I find it really hard to rate if either a 2 because it's shit or 5 because I love it. I think 4, maybe 4.5. Let's do 4.
Okay.
Let's do 4.
4. 4 for 4. All right.
Yep. 4 Motorola flip phones out of 5.
Yeah, those, they're pretty hard of the old Motorolas. That's fair.
Yeah.
What are you taking a star off for?
I don't know. So I was like, do I give it 5?
It's just how you feel, like in your core. You're just like, I just feel like it's a solid 4. And that's fine enough. Like,
yeah, that's your rating system. I don't think there's anything in there that I necessarily think like brings it down. I just think, I don't know if it could be any better, like to make it a 5. I just think, it's a good solid 4. Nearly a 4.5. Yeah.
Oh, neat. Nice.
All right. Cool. That is our review of Collateral. It's a nice long one, but you knew that was coming.
Yay. People don't have anything else to do during this time, so I'm sure they're excited to listen to us talk about Tom Cruise for a long time.
Talking about Tom Cruise, tick. Talking about Brisbane nightclubs, tick. Talking about things they're thirsty before, tick. We've done it
tick.
All.
Yeah, we've got everything, thank goodness.
Yeah.
It's a niche market and we're willing to cover it.
All right, Lauren, let's just remind us where to find you on the internet.
Oh, if you like lots of dumb, fun stuff, please follow me on Twitter at Lauren Stardust, on Instagram if you like fashion, at Lauren Stardust, on Facebook at Lauren Stardust, where I usually do a lot of my feminist posting. It's a good time. I'm also trying to learn Japanese at the moment, so I'm sorry if a lot of my tweets are in Japanese. You can hit the translate button and,
exactly.
and try your best. Ganbatte. Ganbatte? Ganbatte. That means try your best in Japanese. So nice. Look at me go. Yeah.
As per usual, you can look me up on tomcruisereviews.com or my social media is tomcruisereviews on Instagram and tomcruisereview, no S, on Twitter. And that's a wrap for this week. I hope you're all surviving quarantine-y, stuck at home times and doing your best. And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.